You know, as Christina was encouraging us, crying and encouraging us during worship, I just kind of felt like, you know those moments where you just feel like there's power in the room. It's like, it doesn't matter what you came in with. It doesn't matter the grave that seems to be trying to pull you under. It doesn't seem all the problems in life. You have those moments where it's like, I can do this because God is with me. I have power available to me. And that's just kind of the sense that I got in the room is wow, we can do this. The graves, the things that want to pull us under, the things that want to harm us, the things that want to distract us, we have victory and we have power over those things, not because of anything in ourselves, but because we serve a good God. Amen? And whether it's graves that we need to be brought out of, whether it's deep addictions that we need victory over, whether it's big decisions that we need to make that we need guidance over, God has provided the answer for that. But he hasn't just provided the answer for the big things and empowerment for the big things. He provides power for all the small things in our lives as well. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. It's estimated that the average person makes anywhere from 70 to 120 consciously significant decisions every day. So this can be deciding what to eat, what to wear, how I'm going to spend my money, what to say after a confrontation, or what to say after something that annoyed you. All these decisions that we make throughout the day, though they seem insignificant, they add up over time to the tune of 25,000 decisions every year. So the decisions that we make that might be small or that maybe we don't always think about, they realize more than we matter. In fact, one pastor named Craig Rochelle said it like this. He said, the decisions you make today will determine the stories that you tell tomorrow. The decisions you make today will determine the stories that you tell tomorrow. He continued with this. He said, whenever we try to make wise and healthy decisions but don't see results fast enough, it's easy to wrongly conclude my small good decisions don't matter that much. The opposite is true as well. If we do something unwise or unhealthy and nothing falls apart in our lives, it's easy to wrongly conclude my small bad decisions don't matter that much. But we must remember our lives are the sum total of all the small decisions that we make. Life isn't just about the big decisions, but about the 25,000 small decisions that you and I will make every year. And so based on the trajectory of your small decisions, ask yourself this, am I happy with the story I'm going to be telling in the future? Am I happy with where my small decisions are leading me in the future? What I want to accomplish this morning is I want you to walk away today feeling three things as it relates to our daily decisions. Number one, I want you to feel challenged. You know, sometimes we get stuck in certain ways of doing things, even though we know it's not the best for our health or the best for our relationships or the best for our finances. And we just need to be challenged again, that those small, seemingly insignificant decisions, they matter. And it will be a challenge because often the right decision is the hard decision. It's not easy. So I want you to feel challenged. Number two, I want you to feel empowered because many times we know the wise decision to make. We know the right thing to do, but we can lack the discipline or the motivation to make the wise choices. But our self-talk doesn't have to sound like, well, I tried before, or I just can't do it, or I'm not disciplined enough, or I'm not wired that way. Right? That's not what our self-talk has to sound like. We have power that is available to us. So I want you to feel challenged, empowered, and then thirdly, I want you to feel envisioned. We have to get really good at looking beyond just today and looking to what could be, to motivate ourselves with the possibilities of the future, to envision the stories that we're gonna be telling in the future based on the small decisions that we make today. So challenged, empowered, and envisioned. Let's unpack each one of those at a time. For the first one, the challenge. Here's the challenge, and we all know this, but wise decisions are often the hard decisions. Wise decisions are often the hard decisions. So earlier this year, my wife, Karis, and I, we were having what I call a State of the Union talk. So I heard a pastor say this one time, you know, it's the how's our marriage doing talk. What's the state of our union? So we were having a State of the Union talk, something that's important for, I think, every married couple to have. And basically what you're doing is you're asking questions like, how are we doing in our marriage? Are there any expectations that I have that I haven't communicated? Is there anything that I need to confess or ask forgiveness for? Those kind of questions. You're basically giving your permission or your spouse permission to be bluntly honest with you and saying, I'm not gonna get defensive in return, right? Thankfully, as we're having this conversation, she told me that she couldn't think of anything I could possibly do better or improve upon. Right? I wish. You better believe you give them the opportunity, they're gonna take it. No, rather, she said something that was really humbling for me to hear, but something that I immediately recognized as true in my life. And this is what she said. She said, you're really good at identifying your need for change and making plans to change, and I appreciate that, but many times you don't follow through. Ouch. You know, part of me wanted to get defensive, but it was so obvious that all I could do was look her in the eyes and say, you're right. I do that a lot, and I'm sorry for that. You know, she didn't have to give me examples or go down a list. Several came flooding to my mind just as after she said that. Failed attempts at praying together every night. Failed attempts at planning consistent date nights. Failure at communicating my plans ahead of time. Failure at finishing the honey to-do list when I said I was gonna do it. Wives, if you aren't nudging your husbands, now's a good time. See, I knew the small decisions I needed to make that were important for her, that strengthen our relationship. So I would say that I'm gonna do something, I would plan on doing something, but then I just wouldn't follow through. I wish talking produced the results that we wanted. Unfortunately, we can talk all we want, we can make all the plans that we want, but if we don't follow through, it doesn't matter. Good intentions don't matter if they're not followed with action. And so as I was reflecting on this later, this conversation that we're having, I realized I didn't just do that in our relationship. I did it in many areas of my life. And I'm sure that's not unique to me. I mean, have you ever known the wise thing to do? Said you were gonna do it, made plans to do it, but then didn't follow through? Anybody? Am I the only one in this boat? Maybe it's you promised that you'd show up somewhere important, but then you made an excuse as to why you couldn't be there anymore. Maybe you promised to spend more time with your family, but life got busy again. Maybe it's you resolved to watch less entertainment and spend more time in scripture or more time praying, but you haven't caught up on all the shows that you want to watch yet, so it's still coming sometime in the future. Or maybe you determined that you were going to start eating healthier and or exercising, but the starting point just keeps getting pushed to next Monday and the next Monday. The list can go on and on. These things may seem small and sometimes insignificant. After all, we're good intentioned, right? We recognize it's the wise thing or the right thing. We want to do it. We plan to do it. But when it comes to consistent follow through, we might make the decision to put it off till tomorrow. But tomorrow is like the kryptonite of your potential when we just keep pushing it off tomorrow. There's a proverb in scripture, Proverbs 14:23, that says this. It says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. When you put in the work, when you work hard, you're gonna reap the benefits of that work and you're gonna profit. Or you can just talk about it and it's gonna lead to poverty in your life. It's interesting, scientists have discovered that there's a natural deception that takes place in our brain when we talk about our goals before we actually act on them. Listen to this. How our brain works is our brain releases dopamine, which is the feel-good neurotransmitter, and it'll release it just when we think, plan, or talk about something before we've acted. Think about that. So it creates this false sense of accomplishment. You feel like you're going forward. You feel like you're making progress because I had this talk 5 different times with my wife on plans I'm gonna do, but you haven't done anything yet. You've just talked about it. You've just made a plan for something. And so we get stuck in the loop of endless talk, endless planning, endless good intentions, and no action. But what the scripture verse is saying is that if you want to profit, and it's not just talking about, you know, going to work the 9 to 5 and making money so that you can survive. It's not just talking about that. It's saying if you want to profit, if you want growth, if you want results, you're going to have to do the hard work to get there. Or poverty will come knocking at your door. And so pick your context. It can be physical profit or poverty. It can be relational profit or poverty. It can be spiritual profit or poverty, emotional profit or poverty. As a husband, if I want a healthy marriage, I'm gonna have to be willing to have the hard conversations. I'm gonna have to have the courage to confess when I've messed up and have the grace to forgive when I've been hurt. I'm gonna have to be intentional with how I invest my time, energy, and resources, because here's something for certain, a healthy marriage isn't gonna happen on accident. It takes intentionality. As a parent, if I wanna raise kids who love God and are a benefit to society, I'm gonna have to be willing to put my dreams, my desires, even my comforts on hold at times so I can show up and be present for them. I'm gonna have to be willing to do the hard work of parenting rather than delegating it to the church or to the public school system or to a screen. I'm gonna have to be willing to be the bad guy that says no to my children, even though they might misinterpret my protection as cruelty. If you wanna get healthier or fit, you're gonna have to do the hard work by putting down the comfort foods and picking up something healthy, by showing up at the gym even when it's the last thing in the world that you wanna do. See, I can buy a healthy meal plan. I can buy a new pair of running shoes. I can download a fitness app. I can tell all my friends about what I'm about to do. That's the easy part. But if I don't do anything, if I don't follow through, none of that matters. Maybe there are people in here that you desire to expand into more spiritual freedom and healing in your life. You're gonna have to do the hard thing of investing your time more in the things that give that to you rather than the things that distract you or entertain you. You have to be intentional about making time for prayer and scripture rather than giving God our leftovers. We could go on and on and talk about finances and friendships and ministry and school, all areas of our life. The wise decisions are often the hard decisions. And this is the reality, is that much of life is gonna be about waking up in the morning, doing the hard things, and then doing it again the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Anybody can be disciplined for a couple days, a couple weeks, a couple months, but consistency over a lifetime, that's hard work. Little small decisions along the way, but consistency over a lifetime is hard work. But Proverbs said it's the hard work that's gonna bring the profit. And so we don't mourn the hardships that we're gonna experience, we expect it. We lean into it because that's where the profit is gonna come from. Now, I do wanna clarify one thing so as not to have any misunderstanding. I acknowledge that we live in a sinful, broken world where many things are outside of our control, meaning that we can put in the hard work and things still go south. Things still don't work out the way that we planned. Things still don't happen the way that we fought for. Maybe you did everything you could to make your marriage work and the other person still left. Maybe you were intentional about praying with your kids and raising them in a godly household, and they rebelled or walked away anyways. Maybe you exercised and you ate healthy, but the tumor or the cancer showed up anyways. We live in a broken world where we can make the good decisions, the wise decisions, and it doesn't always pan out. The point is hard work doesn't guarantee an absence of problems, but mere talk guarantees a presence of problems. Say that again. Hard work doesn't guarantee an absence of problems, but mere talk does guarantee a presence of problems. So I don't want you to think that I'm up here pointing fingers at you and the problems in your life and saying that it just means that you didn't work hard enough. No, life is life. Sometimes things are unfair. We live in a very broken world, and we can do everything we can sometimes and it still doesn't work out. But there's still great importance in the small decisions that we make to do the hard work, because the wise decisions are often the hard decisions. So that's the challenge. Now we get to some good news, all right? The good news is that you and I, we have the power of God within us to make those small, hard, seemingly insignificant decisions on a daily basis. That's where empowerment comes in. Wise decisions are fueled by God's power. Wise decisions are fueled by God's power. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church that had a ton of issues. And in it, he addressed some of those issues, talking about the division in the church, talking about the pride, the spiritual immaturity, the sexual immorality, all these things. And in his correction to them, he said this in 1 Corinthians 4:20. He said, "The kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Now, I love the distinction there, because yes, we realize we can't just talk. There has to be hard work, but it's not just even hard work. There's power that's available to us. God's kingdom, meaning how the reign of God is expressed in the life of a Christian, it doesn't consist in talk, meaning it's not about our persuasive speech, our ability to say the thing that sounds right. It's not about our empty promises. It's not about how we talk, but it's in power, meaning the godly and wise actions fueled by the power of God. We do have to put in the hard work, but we have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us. You know, it's the difference between digging a trench with a dull shovel or an excavator. You still have to work, but there's power behind one of them. And God wants to supply you with that power. 1 Corinthians 1:23 and 24. He said, "But we preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks," he says, "Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, meaning Christ's death and resurrection, it revealed God's power over sin and death, and it expressed his mysterious plan for salvation. I love what one commentary said. It said, "Since Jesus's resurrection as it is at the center of the Christian faith, everything Christians do is under the reign of God's power." Everything Christians do is under the reign of God's power, which means this, and you can't miss this part, is that God doesn't just give us power to make moral decisions. He gives us the power to make wise decisions. He doesn't just give us power to make the moral decision. He gives us power to make the wise decision. See, not all decisions are about moral or immoral. Many of them are just about wisdom. I mean, going back to the conversation that my wife and I were having, I was talking, but I wasn't following through on small acts like praying together or going on regular date nights or finishing the honey to-do list. See, morality doesn't tell me that I'm sinning if I don't do these things, but wisdom tells me it's important to invest in my wife's love language. It's important, and God cares about that because he cares about my marriage. And so he wants to empower those decisions that I make. You know, I think that we would be surprised How many marriages end up on the rocks? Not because of an affair or a big moral failure, but because somewhere along the line, acts that show intentionality and foster connection stopped happening, and two people just grow emotionally apart. See, love is not just a feeling, it's a choice. It's a choice to sustain and nurture a relationship with our actions, meaning you don't just fall out of love, you fall out of action. It takes intentionality. It takes hard work to be consistent over a lifetime. And I've seen how inconsistency is an open door for the devil to do what he does best, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I need the power of God to stay consistent. I need the power of God to stay self-controlled. I need the power of God to stay disciplined in my life over a lifetime, to keep showing up, to keep putting in the work, to not just talk, but to act, to make the wise choices. Self-control, it's not just a personal effort. The Bible says it's a fruit of the Spirit. So I can be self-controlled. I can be disciplined in my life to do the hard things consistently, because the Spirit who rose Christ from the dead lives within me, and he has preeminence over every aspect of my life. And so because of that, he produces the fruit of God's work inside of me. And I thank God for that, that his power touches the simple, everyday, small decisions of our lives. It's power to be disciplined with my finances. It's power to be intentional with my relationships. It's power to be self-controlled in my eating habits. It's power to put down the remote and pick up the word of God more often. It's power to not just talk the good talk, but to walk the good walk. And I think one of the ways that we practically step into God's power throughout the day is by applying these three words from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Just these three words can change our lives. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It means not relegating my prayer life just to a slotted time in the morning or evening. It's good to have time set apart, but it's more than that. It's making it a rhythm throughout my day. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm a father of a three-year-old and almost a one-year-old now. And my three-year-old is just, he's uncontrollable right now. And sometimes when I'm at my wit's end in dealing with him, and then he pulls the last straw, which happens quite often, I have a decision to make. Do I respond in frustration or anger, or do I model to him self-control? And I failed at it so many times, it's embarrassing. But what I've learned that has helped me is learning to pause in that moment and just pray. As I'm dealing with him squirming, crying, whatever's going on, God, I thank you for my son. Praying blessings over him, praying that God would continue to shape his life. Thinking of the tragedies recently that happened in Texas, I still have my son with me. God, thank you that my son's alive and that he's well. Not letting the frustration or the anger in the moment take over and cause me to speak rashly or to yell or whatever I might want to do. Sometimes the only thing that helps make the wise decision is praying and thanking God for my sons. And you can pick any area of your life, pause and pray. If we can just apply those three words, pray without ceasing, I think we'd be surprised at how much it actually begins to shape our decisions. So wise decisions are fueled by God's power, but it doesn't stop there. I think there's one more step that I believe is important for us to take. See, hard decisions are the what, God's power is the how, but lastly, we need to know the why. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing the hard thing? That's the last part where we have to envision ourselves. So wise decisions are often the hard decisions. Wise decisions are fueled by God's power. And lastly, wise decisions persevere by seeing the future. Here's what I mean by that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church to remain steadfast in the midst of all the trials and the hardships that they're experiencing. And specifically in verses 7 to 15, he's talking about his personal ministry and everything that he has faced because of his ministry, the trials, the prison, the beatings, everything that he has to face because of his ministry. But he says this in verses 16 and 18. He says, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So he acknowledges the hardships. He acknowledges the power of God being manifested to him in his weakness, but he ends with the why. Why did he regard hardship and perseverance and troubles as part of his ministry that was worth it? It's because he said, we look to the things, the eternal things, the things that are unseen, the things that we can't quite see yet. See, it was through his hardships and it was through his sacrifice that the church at Corinth was being benefited. That's what he's saying. Like, it's hard for us, but it's a benefit to you. Yes, they were messed up. Yes, they had a lot of growth ahead of them. But he saw beyond that moment. He could see into the future. The reward of why, this is what he said. He said, the reward of why we're doing what we're doing is ultimately the countless lives that will be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, so we don't lose heart. We consider this affliction light and momentary because we can look ahead and we can see the eternal impact that's gonna happen. So Paul is speaking this about his ministry, but let me just broaden the scope for a moment. Because in the same way that he envisioned himself with the unseen things, we need to do the same thing in our lives. Whether we're talking about ministry, whether we're talking about marriage, parenting, health, finances, school, friendships, whatever it is, this is what he's saying. He's saying, we must learn to see the unseen things before they're visible. We have to learn to see the unseen things before they're visible. For Paul, he saw churches being established and strengthened, not just Corinth, but Ephesus, Philippi, the broader church as well, TSC Summit in Grantville 2,000 years later, benefits from his ministry, looking into the future. So for us, what's the unseen thing that you need to see today? What do you want your marriage to look like years down the road? Maybe for you, it's envisioning your 50th wedding anniversary, surrounded by loved ones who testify to the strength and the stability your marriage brought to the family. What do you want to see in your children and grandchildren 25 years from now? Maybe it's watching your kids teach their children to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. What do you want your health to look like 30 years from now? Maybe it's being able to run around and play with your grandkids. What kind of friends will you need 25 years from now? Friends who will tell you the hard things that you need to hear. Friends who can support you when you can't face life's challenges alone. We have to learn to see the unseen things before they are visible. Now, I realize there's a wide variety of ages in the room. Some of us have more future left than others. And maybe some of you would even say, I've messed up any opportunity left in my future. Like, I hear what you're saying. It's a nice sermon, but it would have been more helpful for me 30 years ago. I don't see how it really changes much at this point. Let me encourage you with this. The same God who empowers us to make the wise decisions somehow can also redeem our foolish ones. I don't know how it works. I don't know why he does it, but somehow that's the good God that we serve. And so pray for God to redeem what you no longer have control over and ask him to empower what you do, whatever you have left. Because if you're still alive, you can make choices today that can have impact for the future. Not just your future, your children's future, the next generation. God works in miraculously mysterious ways. And so if a good future can't envision you, let it be the mystery of what a good God can do. So just start today, because it's never too late for the decisions you make today to determine the stories that you'll tell tomorrow. Now this morning, we're talking about the importance of small decisions. But before we close, there's one decision that will be the greatest and most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And it's the one decision that will anchor all of your small decisions and will determine not just the stories that you tell in the future, but ultimately where you're gonna spend eternity. The biggest decision that you'll ever make, and that's the decision to follow Jesus. So as we get ready to close, I wanna close with an invitation for those that have never committed their life to following Jesus, whether those joining online or those here in the room, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus and committed to following him, I wanna give you that opportunity. Following Jesus is as simple as A, B, and C. A is admit. It's just admitting our need for him. I'm a sinner in need of a savior. You know, I can have all the self-discipline in the world. I can put in all the work I want. And I can maybe even build a pretty good life for myself here on earth, but that doesn't change my eternity. That's not what takes me into eternity. It's recognizing I need a savior. I need someone to intervene in the sin and in the mess in my life. B is believe that Jesus died and he rose again for your sins. Yes, he gives us power and wisdom for the small decisions, but he does it all. He gives us forgiveness for the past decisions. Freedom from shame that wants to bind us today. And when we believe in the finished work of what Jesus did when he died on the cross and he rose from the dead, we're saying, I'm placing my faith that my merit with God is not based on anything I did in the past or anything I can do in the future. It's based on what Jesus already accomplished with a perfect life. And so believing that Jesus died and rose for your sins and placing your faith in him. And then lastly, C, confess Jesus as Lord of your life. This is you saying, I surrender all of my decisions, the big decisions, the small decisions to the will of God for my life. I don't chart my own course by myself. Like I have a savior, I have a God who wants to be involved. Why wouldn't I want him to be involved in that? However he calls me to live, whatever scripture says about not just morality, but wise decisions, that's what I want for my life. And so it's confessing Jesus as Lord. God, take the wheel of my life. Take the pen of my life and help me write this story. And when you do those three things, you admit, you believe, and you confess, the Bible says that we're born again. We become a new creature. And so if we could all just stand. As we get ready to say this prayer, is there anybody in the room that has never made that decision to follow Jesus? I'm not gonna embarrass you or call you forward. I just want you to raise your hand. Anybody in the room that has never accepted Christ as your savior, you've never made the commitment to follow Jesus and you're saying that I wanna do that today. I wanna make that decision. I wanna make the biggest decision that I'll ever make in this life, the one that impacts all the small decisions. Is there anybody in the room? So as we pray this prayer, those joining online, anybody in the room, let's all pray this prayer together. This is us just admitting and believing and confessing. Say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, I thank you that you desire to be a part of even the small decisions that we make, the wise decisions that we make. God, and you desire to be a part of that. God, and I pray that if there's anyone that needs to be challenged, that they would be challenged to put in that hard work, but they would be encouraged to know that you bring that power, that you care about those decisions because you care about every aspect of our lives, whether it's our marriage or our parenting or our friendships or our schooling. God, you care about it all because we live in the kingdom of God and you have preeminence over every area of our life. And so we thank you for that. God, I pray that you would envision us with things of the future. God, how we want to see you work in our lives in the future and the decisions that we make today that determine those stories that we may tell in the future. God, so challenge us, and we thank you that you've empowered us and envisioned us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't have any specific altar call. I just want this to be a time of reflection for you. Whatever area it is, maybe it is. I feel conviction. I feel challenged. Things came to my mind in areas where I do a lot of talking, but not a lot of action. You just want to silently pray during this next song and say, God, help me to be a man or a woman of my word. Help me to follow through. Thank you for empowering me to follow through. Maybe some of you have felt like God cares about the big things, the big decisions, the addictions, and the moral questions and actions. No, he cares about it all. So maybe it's just inviting that power in, saying, God, thank you that you provide that power. I invite that into my life. Help me to incorporate more praying without ceasing into my life. Or maybe during this next song, you're just gonna envision what it might be in the future that you wanna see as God is working in your life. So let's do that together as we go into this next song.